Welcome back. It's our second hour of the Lauren Brooker Show on this Tuesday morning. Tomorrow on the show, lots to get to. Excited to have you with us. And of course, another edition of Meet the Candidates coming up later this week on the program, as we do it Tuesdays and Thursdays. And speaking of that, it is time.
It's federal election time, and your vote matters. You're listening to Meet the Candidate on the Lauren Brooker Show on CJBQ.
I love that. We just should start every show with that, even if we have a candidate on or not. But today's candidate is somebody that is very, very well known in our community, of course. She represents the riding of Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and now Tyendinega. Before the writ dropped, as I mentioned, she was the MP there. So she's looking for re-election. She represents the Conservatives. And, of course, I'm talking about Shelby Cramp Nyman. Good morning, Shelby. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Lauren.
Always happy to have you with us today. And, of course, today it's a different time because you're in an election campaign. And it's been quite an amazing campaign. People are saying, hey, listen, this is the most important election of our lifetimes. You're younger than I am, but still, I can't remember a time. And of course, you're a political family, so you would have remembered a lot of elections growing up. But I can't remember a time when people are, A, as focused, B, paying attention. And listen, we just came out of a provincial election, but people don't seem to mind. They are connected with this election.
I couldn't agree more. Over the last several weeks and the last 3.5 years being involved as your member of parliament, there's been a tremendous of uncertainty happening here in Canada. But this is, I'm going to suggest, my 10th federal election that I've been involved in some capacity.
That's amazing.
So this is not new to me, and I love the fact how engaged people are.
Right.
I really appreciate how informed people have become. And there's a lot of concern at this point. So yeah, when I'm knocking on doors, there's a lot of issues at hand.
Right.
And it's just a matter of how can we move forward. There's a lot of frustration. So as much as we have so much going on that's wonderful in Canada, we really have to hone in on how we can make things better.
Well, the opportunity for us to have candidates on the show is wonderful. And Shelby will have 90 seconds at the end of the show to tell us why the residents, the voters of Halat, should vote for her. Also, the best way to do this is for you to ask her questions as opposed to me, because this is she won't speak to a bigger group of people than right now. So if you have questions, concerns, whatever the case might be, this is a great opportunity for you to get in. And the phone lines are open for you, 613-969-1545. Toll free 1-866-969-1546. And one of the things, Shelby, I'm sure you noticed at the door and have noticed in your day-to-day job as an MP, and honestly, you haven't been in Ottawa like on a regular basis in like 9 years now. It seems like we've been prorogued forever. You have noticed that the makeup of this area is different, and there's new people here all the time. So I don't think everybody knows who you are. So even though you're well known to me and a lot of people, why don't you introduce yourself?
No, thank you, Lauren. So first of all, the riding of Hastings, Lennox, Addington, Tyendinega is a ginormous riding. It's about 4.5 hours from tip to toe. And I live in Medoc, born, raised, and kept moving away for school and work and kept moving home to the small rural community of Centre Hastings in Medoc. I'm born and raised by my mom and dad, Carol Ann, and my two sisters, Carrie Lane and Terrell. We've all moved away. We've all moved home. And with that, I served municipally on the municipal council for 15 years, three terms as councillor and one term as deputy mayor. Prior to that, I taught French. I taught political science at Loyalist College. I taught ethics, communications. From there as well, I was a financial advisor for just over a decade here locally as well. So was continuously meeting with people from all over the riding. And my father, for most that are aware, was our sitting member from 2004 to 2015. Mm. And uniquely, when my father ran provincially and was successful in 2018, and I then won in 2021, it was the first time that there was a father and daughter consecutively serving in the same riding at the same time in Canada. So that's a neat little nugget of history that I love.
And I will say this, and I think most people agree, there's a couple politicians that we have had in the Quinte region that go into the beloved category. Your dad was one of them. I think Hugh O'Neill was one of them. And what's so interesting is different parties too, by the way. It didn't seem to matter. Your dad was a server of the community and Hugh O'Neill was a server of the community. And I think you've learned a lot. I mean, you learned from your dad. I don't see you being, you know, Mary or Polly partisan, right? Obviously you're conservative and you follow that, but you're not a table banger. You like, this is a Canadian is a Canadian and we got to figure out how to do things better.
Yeah. I think people love negativity. They love being brass and getting into arguments. We have to recognize that the secret of collaboration, and a lot of parliamentarians talk about it, but very right. few people actually do it. And knowing when to take the partisan hat on and when to take it off. I've certainly learned that from mirroring my father in public service, is that you need to do things not because you want to get the credit for it, but because it's the right thing to do. And I know that I have two daughters at home, 16 and 18-year-old, and I know that I want to be an example for them,
right.
That we don't always need to get along. We can disagree with each other, but ultimately you need to respect each other.
Does being a mom of two daughters help you in the House of Commons? Because I think, you know, I'm a dad of one daughter and a teenage girls, it's a wonderful thing, right? And but it does teach you to listen to their, because do you agree with me, yes or no, that every party wants to get to the same finish line, they just want to do it in a different way with some different ideas?
100%. I think to that point, we all want to get there. We all have different ideas. None of us are out trying to find the worst way to serve Canadians. We're not trying to, you know, we're all not trying to raise taxes because we're out to get Canadians. We love Canada. And I think collectively I can say that for all members of for all people that want to put their name forward.
Right.
And I respect anyone that puts their name forward, because it's not for everyone. You certainly need a tough skin and a tough resolve. But to answer your question too about having daughters, listening to their viewpoints from both Tory and Rees and my husband Tatum brings a different perspective, because they're not necessarily as engaged in the political day-to-day as I am or people that I may be speaking with. So it grounds me. And I think if I can compare a thermostat to a thermometer, I'm definitely a thermostat, where I can learn from them that when I go into a room, I just need to, if the temperature is really hot, I mm-hmm. need to try and calm things down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my responsibility to calm things down and try and find resolve.
Right. The other interesting thing about this riding, which is thousands of square kilometers, is that even though people still care that butter is expensive, they all do. Somebody in Napanee and somebody in Bancroft has a completely potential different need from their federal representative.
Definitely. And with the riding as large as it is, we have to recognize that some of the urban ridings, we were speaking just prior to the show, are perhaps 5-6 city blocks. This is an entire different dynamic, where those that live in Maynooth or Lake St. Peter may have a different view of those that are on the island, Amherst Island.
Right.
So it's very different. There's different county levels. There's so many different dynamics in all the different communities that I think the importance of being born and raised here and understanding and growing with my community has been a big part of who I am.
Is it hard for you to sometimes explain to the urban MPs what you do different? Because, I mean, I think it's important that they come and visit, that they understand, right? There are MPs who have half of the Northwest Territories. Like, I mean, there's nobody there, but still, like, it's an enormous, they got to fly to go visit their constituents.
No, I think it's interesting. So I am blessed to be only about 2.5 hours from Ottawa. And when I have had neighboring members of parliament come into the riding, for example, we had John Barlow, the critic of agriculture. And he was like, Shelby, you know everybody by name, and you're talking to a lot of people. And oh my gosh, it takes us 3 hours to get from here to there. Mm-hmm. And it was an interesting dynamic. But I think the biggest difference between some of the rural members of parliament and those of the urban centers is, let's suggest when we have Remembrance Day ceremonies or we have Santa Claus parades, they may only have one legion in their respective riding.
Right.
They may only have, you know, two chambers of commerce or one, whereas we have upwards of 17 and 18 different right. Santa Claus parades. We have, you know, 16 different legions. There's such a bigger dynamic here that it's important to balance. Yes. And I think that's one of the biggest differences between the two. In addition to that, I just lost my train of thought for a minute. In addition to that, I think that we have to recognize that as a member of parliament, there's two roles. There's your legislative hat on when you're in Ottawa, which is about half the year. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other half of the year when you're in the riding. And because I'm only 2.5 hours away from Ottawa, if indeed I do have the privilege to return to Ottawa, I have the flexibility that I can be able to be home on weekends and attend events as much as I can, and versus having to fly across the country to.
I often think of MPs who are in British Columbia.
Right.
And not Vancouver, where even from Ottawa, there's not 20 flights a day. It's not like Toronto. Mm-hmm. But if you're in northern BC, like, how do you get there to see your family? The commitment is massive. So in that way, all MPs who are dedicated to their job, because not everybody is, but most are, mm-hmm. deserve some respect in that way, because it is a huge amount of time away from their family.
Yeah, it is indeed. I think it's a sacrifice where you're sharing your life with the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, thankfully, this is a conversation that I had with my family prior to, and I was blessed that I knew exactly what I was getting into.
Right.
Seeing the commitment that my mom and dad both gave back to the communities. So I was aware of it, and I thankfully love what I do.
But the other side of that is your daughters have had now the ability, and they would have had as children, but now that they're, as you said, 18 and 16 and cognizant of civics and everything, mm-hmm. to walk the halls of the government with their mom, who has one of the most unique and incredible jobs in this country. I often said to former MP Neil Ellis, who's now the mayor of Belleville, of course, Neil, you sat there when Barack Obama gave his speech, an incredible speech. You were 20 feet away.
Right.
Like, that's history.
It's an amazing privilege. But with that, Lauren, comes an enormous responsibility.
Huge.
And I don't take it lightly.
Yeah.
And I think that you have to just recognize, and sometimes, you know, give yourself a little pat on the shoulder going, okay, this is a big responsibility. And elected members of parliament have to recognize that when they're elected, indeed, I'm conservative, but when I'm elected, we have to serve all those, not just those who voted for me, mm-hmm. but this is an example of when you take the partisan hat off. And the successes and satisfaction that we have had within our local offices, be it in Ivanhoe or Napanee or Flinton or Maynooth or Tyendinaga, mm-hmm. the satisfaction that we can get from the help that our team has been able to provide so many people. Like, just in the last several months, there was over 700 active case files of people needing help. So that's rewarding, and I think it really reminds me why I do what I do.
All right, let's take some phone calls if we can. Again, the phone line's open, 613-969-1545, 1-866-969-1546. Shelby Cramp-Nyman in studio today. Bonnie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Lauren. Good morning, Shelby. I'm a senior, and we're worried about the stock market these last few weeks and our retirement income. What are the Conservatives going to do to help seniors?
Good morning, Bonnie, and thank you for the question. I think it's really important that we recognize that we will, as Conservatives, restore the promise that we need here in Canada. Seniors have done so much for us. Just earlier in the campaign, we have to recognize the stock markets are all over the place right now, and those people that do have investments don't necessarily have the time for it to rebound. Some of the items that we've suggested moving forward is expanding the ability to earn tax-free. Instead of up to $35,000, it was additionally $24,000, so having that extra room. And then also allowing seniors like yourself to keep your retirement savings, your RRSPs, that traditionally you would have to move over to a RIF at 71. We've extended that to 73, so that's an extra feature as well. And lastly, protecting OAS and CIS, sorry, OAS and GIS and CPP by securing the retirement age at 65. So those are just a few pieces that we have brought forward in the last several weeks. But I think seniors and all, and the vulnerability of the markets right now, it's extraordinarily important to know that with the Conservative government, that we respect how we have gotten where we are. The last 10 years have not been easy for anyone, seniors included. And I think that all Canadians, be it youth, our working class, our families, our seniors, they're all looking for that peace of mind and comfort and a way to give back, because the bills are not going down. Expenses are only getting higher. And with the vulnerability of the market right now, it's really important to know that you have a government that is listening and help to secure the retirement that so many Canadians have worked hard for.
All right, okay. Bonnie, thanks for the call.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bonnie.
As you've mentioned, you were a financial advisor for many years, and this is a crazy thing. Markets don't like uncertainty. And when we have Ian Clark on, that's the first thing he says. And the fact that, you know, the president is changing his mind every day. Yesterday, musing about potentially, you know, taking tariffs now off certain auto parts. Like, these businesses, they make plans years in advance. Like, General Motors is thinking about what they're going to do in 2029 right now, not next week. It's insanity what's going on. And yeah, for somebody like me, whose retirement date is July 23rd, 2067, you know, because I am in broadcasting, there are, and so I just leave it, my investments, don't touch it, and hopefully I'll be okay.
Yeah, close your eyes and
right,
for the best.
Go for the ride. Mm-hmm. Don't do anything. Mm-hmm. But if you're retired and living off those investments, you know, and in America too, you know, you're living off your 401ks. It's very, very concerning.
Mm-hmm. It's not the Canada that I grew up in. It's not one that I even really recognize right now. Like the debt that we have in Canada right now. Just to give some soft numbers here. These are real numbers, Lauren. $1.25 trillion in debt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a $1 trillion. And to you or me, $1 trillion doesn't even seem, you know.
It's not a real number.
It's not a real number. So let's make it a little bit more real.
Right.
That debt grows by $109 million every day.
Cool.
And even further, $75 million of that debt is interest. So it's just, if we treated our own family finances like this,
right,
you know, there would be ruin. So I don't understand how we can continue to allow a government to spend, and have zero accountability for it.
However, the guy who's running against your guy is certainly educated in economics, former governor of the Bank of Canada and the Bank of England. Is he not a good person to try to rein things in?
Well, he's a great person at coming up with wonderful policies that we have just suggested, be it carbon tax, capital gains, pipelines. So right now, I think that we need somebody that has had the experience to serve. He's listened to Canadians. I'm speaking of Pierre Poilievre right now.
Right.
He has been, he is so compassionate and listens, and I think is steadfast in his approach. What we have with...
I have to interrupt you, though. You just said compassionate.
He really is.
Okay. Give us some inside baseball there, because polls are showing that Canadians are not warming up to him, even though the numbers, the daily polls are fairly close, and a poll is just a moment in time, and the only poll that counts, I can say a million things, is on the 28th, blah, 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 but it shows that people are really not warming up to him. And so you're saying compassion. Give us some inside baseball. Tell us something we don't know.
Happy to. First of all, to acknowledge your point, the only poll that we will be worried about is on Election Day. And right now with Pierre Poilievre, I think it's been an example over the last several weeks of the greatest example of misinterpreting a character. A character assassination on a really good human being.
Mm-hmm.
I've known Pierre since 2004. Governing and leading a country, being a leader of a party, is a serious job. He brings every element of seriousness and capacity and brilliance and smarts. I will acknowledge that. what Canadians are not seeing and what they're not is what is not being shared is the side of him that is a brilliant father of two young kids, an amazing wife. He's had a tough background. He wasn't spoon-fed one bit soever. He has respect within our caucus like I've never seen before. On a typical Wednesday morning when we're in caucus, just to give you some perspective, our phones are locked away, our watches are locked away. We go into a room, and it doesn't matter what the legislation is of the day, he's there listening. We don't always agree. Mm-hmm. He's the first one to take constructive criticism. He's open to ideas. He laughs like the best of us.
Why doesn't he do that?
So I think I've seen the turn.
I want to see him laugh.
So he does. He really does. And I think that we've seen more of that as of late. But I couldn't consciously run under a banner unless I had full confidence in him, and I really do.
The question that Canadians are asking, and this may be, I know the Conservatives have tried to make it everyday issues to make Canada better and so on, but clearly one of the big questions in this election is who's best to deal with the orange menace down south, the way the world is going. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of Canadians are going to do, not all Canadians, when they go and vote on the 28th. They're going to say, man, who's going to deal with Trump better?
Yeah. Well, we have to recognize that Ms. Prime Minister Carney has been the one that has been advising Trudeau for the last several years. So all of these ideas and policies that has brought to Canada, to the state we're in right now, Carney has been part of the plan. Mm-hmm. To who will best deal with President Trump? Unequivocally, I can answer that. That right now, there's been some suggestion that President Trump is wanting Carney to win. Why? Because he can put his thumb and basically direct him where to go. With Pierre Poilievre and with the Conservative Party, I have complete confidence that he can steer the ship. And we have to look at what we can do for Canada. The affordability issue was here in Canada long before the Trump factor. Mm-hmm. The affordability concern will be here after the Trump factor.
Well, this is the question that this election should be run on, mm-hmm. Right? If we had a normal president south, if the world was going in the same way it always was, yeah. The question we'd be asking in this election, even with Mark Carney as prime minister, is do you want 10 more years or more, or four more years of Liberals, or do you want something new? But that's the crazy thing about this whole thing. 6 months ago, you guys had a 1,000-point lead. Mm-hmm. You would have won 80% of the seats in the House of Commons.
But I honestly think, Lauren, is that these tariffs can be used as a wake-up call to show President Trump and to show Canadians what we have, and we're a time that we can illustrate that we're a country that can trade with itself, and we can build homes, and we can do all of the above without necessarily that of our southern partner.
Okay, I want to take one more call, then a break, because we need breaks, and then we'll get to some more calls. Let's go to Ted. Good morning, Ted. You're on with Shelby Cramp-Nyman.
Good morning, Shelby and Lauren. Thanks very much for taking my call. First, Shelby, just a comment before I get to your question. I simply wanted to thank you and the other candidates as well, and other parties, and not only in local riding but across Canada, for that matter, for running and contributing your time and efforts. And while the magnitude of issues today are huge, and you must sacrifice significant time to serve your community, so thanks for that. My question is around what you've talked about already on the show to some degree, and that is, you know, your family with the political climate around the table, so to speak, for a number of years, and of course your mom, Carol Ann, has been a significant part of that and the contribution to not only your political life but to your general family life. I knew your dad, Daryl, and we had many discussions, mainly around economic development for this area. He was, first of all, a family man, and secondly, I think that he was there to serve the people within the riding to the best of his ability and understood the issues of the riding. So I had great discussions with them and great respect for them. So with that, here's my question. With the wealth of experience your dad had in the political table, what is the greatest lesson that you learned from him that helps you today in this political world we live in? Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thanks, Ted. You know, I think sometimes being the child of somebody like your dad, a big political family, is great and hard at the same time, because you have the best education possible and you get to see what and learn, and you've talked about that. But on the other hand, you're Shelby Cramp Nyman. You're not Daryl Cramp, and you want to be your own person, and you should, and you are. So it's an interesting question. I'm sure you get it all the time, don't you?
I do. Over the last several weeks, just knocking on the doors, we've knocked on thousands of doors. First of all, thank you, Ted. I really appreciate you taking the time to come in or to call in. Knocking on the doors, I run into all sorts of walks of life, and many have people have either played ball with dad or played hockey with dad, or somehow my dad was able to help them with a special case, and then they tell me all about it.
Or so, giving him an extra lobster. Like, really, your family has done everything, right?
So the stories are endless, and likewise, when I'm in Ottawa, it's almost like I feel like I have several uncles or that are looking over my shoulder to make sure that everything is going all right for me. To answer your question as to what lesson I have learned, and there are many. I could talk for the rest of the show about the lessons that I have learned, but I'll keep it somewhat brief. And Dad always focused on family first, family, faith, and friends. It was a big part of who my dad was and how he carried on from day to day. But most importantly was respect for self and respect for others. And I think too often it's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day life, and it's so easy to, you know, get into the mix and be negative. But my dad was a very optimistic person, and I certainly know that I'm always a glass half full kind of person, to the extent that sometimes it frustrates some people with my positive outlook. But with mom and dad, I was raised in a very entrepreneurial family where the lessons of work ethic, I started, you know, washing dishes at the Two Loons, and I washed a lot of dishes at the Two Loons. But the service for other people, whether it was, you know, serving people in the restaurant where people would say, you know, is there a dress code? And my mom would say, no, it's just as long as they have a smile on their face. So I think in politics, Ted, is that too often people get caught up in policy and anger and division and frustration. And if I could suggest one final thing that my father instilled in me, was that it's about people first. And I would add that patience is definitely something that would separate my father and I. My father wasn't always the most patient person, and that is something that I have learned, that I need to be more patient. And but overall, just self-respect and respect for others would be the paramount lesson.
I'm going to add another thing about your dad, because obviously he was on the show a million times and we talked about a whole bunch of different issues. And he was a conservative, obviously, during Stephen Harper, and a big guy and everything, but the word that came to my mind soon as it was tolerance. Your dad was really tolerant to a whole bunch of different things. Obviously, when I took off on the show, gay marriage was a big thing. He was tolerant to that and understood that, you know, people had rights to their lives and things like that. I think you've fallen in that footsteps too, where people have right to be happy.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Equality of all Canadians is paramount. And being able to be that measured voice that doesn't get too worked up, and to your point, tolerance, I think it's extraordinarily important. And you don't know what each day is going to throw at you.
Right.
Every day in the world of a parliamentarian and elected official can be extraordinarily challenging. We have a social media presence where we show everything that we're doing, and there's lots of activities. But what people don't see is what happens behind the scenes, and how do we get to that point? And there's a lot of stories from day to day where we're able to help people that have not been as tolerant. And I think tolerance is indeed very important. And you know what I did miss? A lesson, a very important lesson, and Lauren will find some humor with this, is the lesson of Mom and Dad's famous chocolate turtles. That's a big lesson.
But it's through chocolate. You can
it's
win.
It's through chocolate.
You can win anything through chocolate. Hey, it's 10:37. We've got to take a break. We have phone lines going as well. Our guest today is Shelby Cramp Nyman. She is the conservative candidate for Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and Tyendinega. You're listening to CJBQ. And, of course, you're watching this right here on your TV as well. So we appreciate that. We'll be back.
It's federal election time, and your vote matters. You're listening to Meet the Candidate on The Lauren Brooker Show on 800-CJBQ.
And your vote really does matter, and I honestly do not care who you vote for. Obviously, Shelby does, but I don't. I want you to go and vote. Just please go and vote. It's so important. We've been talking about Daryl Cramp. It doesn't matter. Hugh O'Neill, your favorite or unfavorite politicians of all time, they will all say the same thing. Even if you're not voting for me, please go and vote.
Actually, I think that the voter turnout in my projection is going to be higher this time around than it ever has been.
That's
from
wonderful.
What I understand. I really hope so. I know
right.
In 2021, it was 62.7% turnout. I'm thinking in the neighborhood of 70%.
Mm-hmm. How can municipal elections have like a 33%? Four out of 10 people mm-hmm. vote. And that's your everyday stuff. You were
right.
A municipal, you were a municipal counselor. Yeah. You know, like, that's your garbage pickup mm-hmm. and your snow plowing and your fire department, mm-hmm. your police, and three people have a say.
Yeah, no, it's bizarre. But I think right now, our democracy is at a very fragile
point. People are engaged.
People are really engaged and concerned. So
let me ask you this question. I know callers have been waiting, and I'm going to get to them next, I promise. And please, with respect, but it seems like when Trudeau was prime minister and then Poilievre opposition leader, there seemed to be a divide. There was a division. It seemed like we were divided. And then Trump, if he's done anything for us, he's brought us together. Elbows up, you know, the whole thing. Mike Myers with a Canadian Tire shirt on Saturday Night Live. How can we not become divisive again? Because it seems like we're together.
Thank you, Lauren. I think it goes back to respect. I know that when I've had the privilege to sit in the House of Commons and question period sometimes is quite theatrical. It's a pretty sad reflection of our democracy,
right.
To be quite candid. And the importance of having the relationships and the collaboration, it's lost. I don't think it's gone. I couldn't, you know, people say to me, Shelby, why are you in the midst of everything right now? Why are you running again? There's so much turmoil. There's so much chaos. You know, how are you able to do this? And to answer that question, I think all the more reason, like when circumstances like this, Canadians need a champion or someone that will champion the efforts and the concerns of the constituents. So the role of the elected parliamentarian is to be that conduit between the local level and that of the federal level
mm-hmm.
in Ottawa. So I think to your point of the anger and divisive, it wasn't always like that. I think right now with social media, people have become very angry.
I would imagine Ed Broadbent and Pierre Trudeau sat down and had a chat from time to time, and and it was, I'm sure, very colorful, but
yeah.
They would have a chat,
mm-hmm.
right? And I would like the prime minister, especially if it's a close government, I would like them to talk to the other leaders and say, hey, this is what we're going to do.
100%. And not just disagree because it's
what you're supposed to disagree.
Idea.
Yeah.
And traditionally in years past, minorities are among the most successful, productive types
right.
of governments going. But what we've seen over the last 9 years is a government that has acted like a majority. And
well, it was a propped up government. That's why.
It certainly was. But Lauren, I have not been in my seat in the House of Commons since December. We were prorogued since mid-December. In probably one of the most important times in our country's history, that you know we need to be there. We need to be serving people. And right now, the frustration that is building up is because we need to be representing Canadians.
Doug Ford,
and right now we're not.
The Premier of Ontario has considered by probably most people to be leading the country,
mm-hmm.
which shouldn't be happening. We should have a federal leader, clearly.
Indeed. And right now, I think that if I can suggest, nothing in politics happens by accident, right?
Mm-hmm.
So things don't just happen. This is all part of the plan.
The plan. Okay. let's go to John. John, you're on with Shelby. Thanks for waiting. Hello, John. Are you there, John? Okay. Let's move on to Danny. Danny, good morning. You're on with Shelby.
Good morning, Lauren, and good morning, Shelby. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Dan. How are you?
I'm just fine, too. Shelby, I find it interesting how all that was needed was an election announcement to see the carbon tax at the pumps reduced to zero. It's nice having immediate relief in fuel costs, and I have no doubt that prices on many other goods will also soon come down. I've always considered carbon taxes excessive and unnecessary. Shelby, this is, for me, a major election issue. I'm very concerned as soon as this election is over, these unnecessary inflationary taxes will make a comeback. Can you comment about my concern? Thank you.
Carbon tax. By the way, I'm really pissed off because yesterday I kind of needed gas, but I really wanted to get home and it was $1.11, and this morning it's $1.22, and I'm angry with myself. But yeah, again, it went up by 10 cents overnight.
Well, as the election gets closer, it'll probably come down again, Lauren.
Great.
So Dan, thank you for your question, and I can confidently say that I think that the Liberals really think that Canadians have had collective amnesia when it comes to carbon tax. For the last, 3.5 years that I've been serving in the House of Commons, you can look at my record. I have voted against carbon tax every single time. I have stood up in the House of Commons and tried to eloquently share my concern about why carbon tax was not effective. It was To talk about why and how can we believe if the Liberals are reelected, will the carbon tax come back on? Here, several weeks ago, at the beginning of the election, there was almost like political theater. There was a stroke of a pen where Prime Minister Carney...
He put it to zero.
He basically set the rate to zero.
Right.
Right? So he set the rate to zero.
The legislation still exists because the House hasn't been in...
Exactly.
Sad to get rid of it, but it's at zero. It's like you use the term thermostat, you turn it to zero.
We turned it down, and I really can't fathom. Prime Minister Carney has been on the record in support of the carbon tax. So I can't believe that, to answer your question, Danny, that once the election is over, you know, I don't have, looking into the cracked and cloudy crystal ball, I can't tell you with complete certainty, but I would suspect that if indeed we do have Liberals reelected, that the carbon tax will conveniently come back on because it was the strike of a pen and it wasn't done through legislation. So in that as well is where there was a lot of frustration when that was done. It was like an executive order of that of President Trump, and it was political theater, in my opinion. And
theater and politics.
Theater, imagine.
Shocking. I got to take a break. 10:48. We have Andy on the line.
Thanks,
Plus,
Danny.
We're going to find out why we should vote for Shelby. She'll have 90 seconds to tell us. That's coming up. It's the Lauren Brooker Show continues.
Yeah, dag name it, Harold. The sun's from
Built to last.
From sports to the oldies to the country, we cover it all. 800 CJBQ. Live from Studio 800, it's the Lauren Brooker Show on CJBQ.
Meet the Candidate is on. It is Shelby Cramp Nyman. She's running for the Conservatives in Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and Tyendinaga. She is the incumbent. And Andy, she wants to talk to you. Andy, you're on with Shelby.
Hello, Shelby. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I am a senior, and... what I'm getting out of the election so far is I like a lot of your policies. And the things that I like about them is definitely the tax structure for the 73 and the capital gains really interests me. But one thing that I really like,
and I want a little input on it, is with the Ring of Fire and all the pipelines going in as a senior, do you think that will benefit me in the long run for making things go down? I'd just like to hear your input on that.
Energy connectivity with pipelines, is that going to benefit seniors down the road?
Short answer, 100%. It will help Canada's economy. We have clean, ethical oil. We need to get it moving. The corridor, the Ring of Fire for our minerals. It's a hard yes, no, unequivocally.
All right.
Well, I'd like to thank you for the answer because I've never voted conservative in my life, and I am this time for that reason and for your great answer.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
Thanks, Andy. I want to ask you, yesterday the Pierre Poilievre came out and he said he will use, if he needs to, the notwithstanding clause, which means notwithstanding what you're saying, I'm going to do it anyway. Really, that's what it means. To remove a Supreme Court decision to disallow consecutive sentences in this country. Most of us believe that if you are a horrible individual, and we can all name some people who are horrible, mm-hmm. you should never get out of jail. Mm-hmm. So is it the right thing to do to use the notwithstanding clause, which is really should be the last, you know, club in our last arrow in our quiver for yeah. something like this?
I think this is an example when the notwithstanding clause is used appropriately. This is not a tool that you want to pull out of your toolbox every time something comes along, but this is something that has been there's so many policies that have brought us to the point where we need to revisit because it's not working. So yes, Lauren, I do agree. Okay. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I do believe that.
Well, I don't care what clause we mm-hmm. use. I kind of agree that if you're mm-hmm. the worst of the worst, you should never get out of jail and we should guarantee it.
Correct.
All right, you now have 90 seconds to tell us why you, Shelby Cramp-Nyman, should be the member of parliament for Halat,
Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and Tyne-Dinega. Thank you, Lauren. For the past 3.5 years, I have been honored to have the privilege to go to Ottawa and respectfully bring the concerns of our community to the floor of the House of Commons. I feel like my job is not done. We are facing an unprecedented national crisis. The tariffs ought to be a wake-up call that it is time for us to meet our potential. A country that allows hard work to pay off, a country that harnesses its own resources, that secures its borders to protect its people, that builds its military to protect its sovereignty, and unites its people. Now more than ever, we need a strong, principled leadership. This election is serving as a pivotal moment in the history of our country and how Canada positions itself globally. I will continue to listen and respect all perspectives while being a strong voice for all. After 9 years of inflationary spending, taxes are up, costs are up, crime is up, and time is up. Bottom line, Lauren, people and their best interests need to be a priority. We cannot afford a fourth Liberal term. With that, I respectfully ask for your support. God bless all of you, and I hope all of you and your families have a happy Easter weekend.
Oh, well, thank you very much for that. And if somebody wants to find out more about your campaign, how do they do so?
I don't even know my own website. you know what? Shelby Cramp Nyman of Hastings, Lennox, Addington, Tyne-Dinega. I'm not being a very good
I bet you can Google it
right now.
Yeah, just say Google it. Google it. Is what we say, and we encourage everybody to get out on April 28th and vote. You can hit advance polls as well and figure out a way. And we should tell people that parties will get you to the polls, right? If you don't have a way to get to a polling place, just and somebody's knocking on your door, even if you're not voting for them.
Right, we have such a good team right. that will help direct you where to vote, how to vote, when to vote.
Absolutely, and the polls are open to 9:30.
I know.
It's so a bit late. We'll have full election coverage for you right here on 800 CJBQ beginning at 9 on the 28th. And Shelby, thank you for coming in.
Awesome, thank you for having me, Lauren.
Best of luck.
I appreciate it.
And we'll talk soon for sure.
Sounds good.